Hello and welcome to Hogan Willig's podcast, Legal Easy. I'm Diane Tiveron and I have with me today Stephen Cohen. He's the chair of our litigation group and our civil rights department head. We had planned to present a program regarding how to choose an agent through the help of our estate planning group, but we thought that there were some more timely issues that needed to be taken care of in our podcast. And given everything that's been happening in our country, and issues in concerning the police and our citizens, I've invited Steve to talk today about some information that we thought would be helpful to all. And basically, it revolves around what happens if you're stopped by the police. What should you do, what shouldn't you do, and things along that nature. So I'm going to turn it to Steve and ask Steve, first of all, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
And what would your suggestions or your advice be to a group of people if asked, what are your rights when you're stopped by a police officer? What should you do, what shouldn't you do?
All right, well, let me start from a practical perspective rather than a legal one. You should be courteous, polite, non-argumentative, and certainly non-violent. That being said, you have no obligation to say anything to the police without attorneys being present. In the 1960s, saw the dramatic transfer of rights, or the conference of rights, upon individuals. You know, we recall that originally people didn't have the right to counsel in state cases, only in federal cases. We had Gideon v. Wainwright in 1963. Then we had Messiah v. U.S., which said you could have that in a state case, you can have attorneys present after an indictment. Then we had Escobedo v. Illinois, and then that you can have an attorney during interrogation. And then finally, 1966, Miranda v. Arizona. And from the moment you are stopped, from the moment you are detained, you have the right to have counsel. And this is Fourth, Fifth, Sixth Amendment stuff. So the first thing you do is don't fight, because that never ends up well for the arrestee. Don't consent to any search, ever. If the police have probable cause to believe that there are drugs, weapons, contraband, kidnapped persons in your vehicle or in your home or in your dwelling or wherever you are, then they're going to come in and search whether you let them or not. If they've determined over your objection to search whatever they want to search, let it happen. Don't stand in your way, because it'll make it awful for you. The notion that, well, if I don't consent, then they're going to think I'm guilty. Well, let them think what they want. That does not give them probable cause to believe that there is contraband. So you can certainly politely refuse to consent. I would refuse to consent just on the grounds that, as an American or someone within our borders, I don't want people to be able to invade my privacy or my rights without probable cause. And I assure you, I have nothing to hide. But I do have my rights and I take them very, very seriously. So if you have a concern, if you have a problem, if you think you have some criminal liability exposure, politely say, I'd like to contact my attorney. And at this day and age, in 2016, that must trigger a cessation of all interrogation. They have to stop questioning you, and they have to give you your access to your attorney, even to the point where they'll have to give you a cell phone for you to call your lawyer if you're on a roadside stop.
You had mentioned that you can deny consent to a search, and of course if police do have probable cause to continue, your advice is to cooperate. What benefit does denying consent provide to someone later on in the process?
Oftentimes, people will have things in their house that they don't want found or seen, and they don't want the police to look. I think, as a matter of principle, we live in a society where you need to be free of unreasonable searches and seizures. So, as a matter of policy, if a police officer wants to come into my house or home, I'm not going to permit it unless they have probable cause, just on a matter of principle. But if an officer believes they have probable cause, and you say, no, I am not consenting, if they don't have probable cause, they have to get a warrant. It's not that difficult in this day and age. You know, we're 2016, every town judge has a cell phone. Every county and city and state Supreme Court judge, federal magistrate, they all have cell phones and they sign warrants if the police officer or FBI agent or Secret Service agent, DEA, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, you know, the list goes on. If they give probable cause to the judge, they'll come back with a warrant, and then when they come back, they say, sir or madam, I have a search warrant that's signed by a judge. You look at it, you read it, make sure it's not a blank line, that there's really a signature on it, and then you stand out of their way and let them search. The search warrant itself is going to specify what they are looking for. So let's say they believe you have narcotics in your house. They enter the house to look for narcotics, but lo and behold, they find firearms that are not compliant with the New York Safe Act, or perhaps firearms that are inconsistent with personal ownership. We, as attorneys, will have a very strong argument to being able to exclude the evidence of the firearms from being used against the individual, the homeowner, the car, the driver, in any future proceedings.
Around the country, we're seeing encounters between police and citizens having just horrific results, things that are basically changing the complexion of our country in terms of dealing with individual rights and the relationship between citizens and police officers. If someone feels as though they have been the subject of behavior or actions that were wrong from a police officer, what is your suggestion? What should that person do?
Right. Well, first, let me repeat myself. Cooperate. Don't resist. Not resisting arrest is not the equivalent of consenting to confinement. And that's kind of a fine legal point for a non-lawyer, but one of the elements you need to prove for false arrest is that you didn't consent to the confinement. You didn't voluntarily turn yourself in and say, you know, lock me up. Never resist a police officer. The thing to do is to cooperate and then indicate at first instance that you want to speak to an attorney and get them involved early on. If for some reason you can't reach them, and if it's in the middle of the night, you don't know a lawyer, as soon as you are released, contact the lawyer. The first opportunity to do that might be after the point of arraignment. You know, if you're locked up, you're thrown into the local jail or the detention center, you're going to be brought to a judge or a magistrate fairly quickly in this day and age. It's not like the olden days when we had to wait, you know, sometimes 5 days till an arraignment. It doesn't happen anymore. Even in rural areas, people usually get arraigned within certainly 48 hours or 72 hours if you get caught on a holiday weekend. At the time of the arraignment, the judge will say, are you represented by counsel? And your answer is, no, I haven't been given an opportunity to call an attorney. That judge at that time will give you an opportunity to get counsel. He or she may not release you, but he'll give you access, he or she will give you access to a telephone. You can start to retain counsel. So that's what you need to do. Make careful observations of everything that's happening, and then inform your attorney and let them take it from there.
Should you get badge numbers or names of police officers? Is that something that you should, you know, I know it's probably hard to think about it or have the presence of mind if something terrible is happening to you physically or emotionally. Is that something, though, that you would counsel people to do?
If they can, without if they can, that's always a good thing to do. But we'll get that information anyway. Once somebody's been arrested, we're going to look at the arrest report. But if somebody's coming over and they are being violent toward you without cause, if you can get their name or badge number, that would be very helpful.
Great. Listen, we've been talking today with Stephen Cohen of Hogan Willig, chair of our litigation group and our civil rights department head. Thanks, Steve, for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.